Okay, so we are, today's daf is Pei Gimel and Chulin. We're going to start in the new Mishnah. It's the third wide line in Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, Ba'arba'a Pakim, Bashana, HaMocher Be'em HaLechavot Tzarech Lodiyos. So this is talking about a very interesting issue, which is Pei Gimel. So which is, what do we do, since Otoviet Beno applies, whether it's the same person who is slaughtering the mother and the child, or it's a different person, it doesn't matter. So how do I know if the person is, if the person who bought the mother, let's say the son, one person bought the mother, one person bought the child, how am I going to know if if the guy who bought the mother is slaughtering it the same day that I'm slaughtering the child, or vice versa? How are you going to know, since there's two different factors at play here? So it says, normally you don't have to assume. You don't have to assume if you buy an animal that, oh, maybe its mother was bought today, maybe its child was bought and slaughtered today. You don't have to assume that. Why? Because you buy an animal, you don't know if it had any children, you don't know what the status of it is, you don't know if they were slaughtered today, you don't know anything. So you don't have to assume. But, but there are four times in the year that you have to let a buyer know that you just sold the mother or you just sold the child. The Elohein, these are the four times. Erev Yom Tov Achon Shel Chag, the Eve of Shmini Atzeret, the Erev Yom Tov Arishon Shel Pesach, and the Erev Pesach, meaning Erev, the holiday of the first, right before the Seder. The Erev Atzeret and Erev Shavuot, the Erev Rosh Hashanah, and also Erev Rosh Hashanah. And all of these days, if somebody buys an animal, you assume they are slaughtering it that day for fresh meat for their meal. So if you sold the mother and the child, you have to let the buyers know you sold the mother, sold the child, because it's likely that whoever bought first is going to slaughter first, and the other person is going to have to wait. And according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, af erev yom kippurim b'galil. In Galil, they had the custom that they would make very big meals of meat on erev yom kippur, and other places they would have chicken or other things, or fish, so they didn't have this issue, but in Galil they would have meat, so you had to let people know then as well. I'm Rabbi Yehuda e Matai, when is this true? Says Rabbi Yehuda, and he's only qualifying with the Tanakh Kama said, he's not disagreeing. That's only bizman she'en lo revach. That's only if there was no space. In other words, if on the same day you sold the mother. Aval yesh lo revach, but if it was a day or two ago, en tzarech lodiyo. In other words, even if it's the week of Erev Pesach, it's a week of Pesach, and you sold one on Monday, one on Wednesday, you don't have to assume the guy who bought it on Monday is that necessarily going to slaughter it on the same day as the guy who bought it on Wednesday. It's only if they're both coming to you on the same day, right before Pesach, they're both coming to you Erev Pesach, and you have to assume they're buying it for right now. They need it for their meal for that night, so therefore you have to let the guy, the second one, know, oh, I sold the mother of this animal earlier today. I sold the child of this animal earlier today. Meaning you're not going to be able to slaughter this animal today. You're going to have to wait until, let's say, another day of the holiday. So, umodeh Rabbi Yehuda agrees, b'mocher ta'em l'chatan v'yatabat l'chala, that if you were to sell the mother to a chatan and the child to a bride, in other words, shetzich lo deal, because you know that their wedding is coming up. Yadu shneim shochtim b'yom echad. You know that they're both coming to slaughter these animals on the same day for the wedding. And since the wedding is coming up, and you know that they're both buying it with intent to slaughter it on the same day, you got to warn them that these animals are, you know, were related to each other, so they don't slaughter them on the same day, and they make other arrangements.
Same bride and groom,
Right, of course. There's another rule about these four special days. Erev Pesach, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Shavuot, and Erev Shmini Atzeret. What is the other special rule? Shemashchitin et a tabach bal kocho, which means if you go and you, what they used to do was, let's say there was an animal that the butcher wanted to slaughter and distribute the meat. So he would wait till he had enough buyers. Okay, so you come and say, listen, I want $5 of the meat. And you say, I want such and such. And you want this. Okay, now I have enough, so sure, I'm going to slaughter. But what if a guy has already paid, he prepaid for one dinar of meat, let's say a pound, whatever it is, small amounts. He paid for it already, and now it's Erev Yom Tov, and he comes and says, where's my meat? The butcher said, I don't want to slaughter this animal of thousand, whatever it is, hundreds of pounds of meat. I only have one buyer. I don't want to. The guy says, I'm sorry. I was relying on this for a Yom Tov meal. He can force him to do it. He can force him to slaughter the whole animal. Okay, that's the rule. Mashchitin et ha-tabach ba'al kocho, afilu sho shaveh elef dinarim, even if the animal's worth 1,000 dinar, ve'en lo lokech el dinar, and all I bought in it was 1 dinar, 1/1,000th of the total, kofin oto lishchot. We can force him to slaughter it, lefichach. Therefore, imit mit lelokech. There's also a negative side, which is, if I paid a dinar on Erev Yom Tov, and I come back later and I'm like, where's my meat? Oh, sorry, I didn't get enough buyers. Okay, I can force the butcher to slaughter the animal for me because it's Erev Pesach, let's say Erev Rosh Hashanah. But what if I paid in the morning a dinar and I come later in the afternoon and say, where's my animal? And he says, sorry, that animal just keeled over and died. But it was your loss because you owned it. Right? The whole idea is, on these days, your money is like you own that animal. So you can come in and say, I want the animal to be slaughtered right now, even if you're going to lose 999 of the parts and I'm only going to get one part, I don't care. I need my meat right now. Okay, but also, if you have that kind of power, it also comes with the liability. If the animal dies, it's on you. On the other hand, other days of the year, you come and you give the guy a dinar, and he doesn't get other buyers, and okay, and he can return your money and say, sorry, no such luck, I'm not slaughtering this animal. Therefore, if it dies, obviously, the liability is also on the owner, the original owner, the seller. Okay, so that these concepts don't relate directly to Otoved Beno, obviously. They're just relating to the fact that there is a mitzvah to have a large meat meal on these particular days. Some of the Mefarshim come and they say, well, why not the first day of Sukkot? Why is that not also? Why not? Why does it only mention the last day of Sukkot? And so the Mefarshim say...
Last or Eve?
It only says the Erev of the last day of Sukkot, meaning on Hoshana Rabbah, they expected you to make a big meal for Shmini Atzeret, but not so much for first day of Sukkot. So the Mefarshim say, one of the answers that they give is, oh, because people are so busy. Tosafot says, Mishum dekule alma tzudei besukah velulav. People don't have time on Erev Sukkot, but a lot of, they're so busy with the other mitzvot that by the time they get around to preparing the meal, maybe it's not as elaborate because they were so busy with all the other mitzvot of the day. But Shmini Atzeret, people are chilling out and relaxing during the week of Sukkot, so they have more time. That's one possibility for why the first day and also the last day of Pesach, we know it's not as big of a holiday, the last day of Pesach. It doesn't have a Shechayanu. It's sort of the end of it. We're tired out already from the matzah indigestion. And, you know, people are not making as elaborate meals on the last days of Pesach, so that's why it doesn't mention it. But these 4 days have a special rule because there is this imperative to eat meat. So therefore, you have to assume someone who's buying an animal that day plans to slaughter it that day. And we have this special dinim of ownership of animals that if a person pays, you must honor their payment that day. It's like they own that animal already immediately on those particular days.
So why does it say Kippurim by Galil? What's the difference?
Only because in the Galil it says that because it's going to explain, but Rabbi Yossi Aglili, actually, does it explain it in this Gemara? It might not explain it in this Gemara, actually. So I'll tell you. The reason is because Rabbi Yossi Aglili said that it was emphasized the concept that if a person eats on Erev Yom Kippur, it's like he's fasting for 2 days. This idea that it's a mitzvah, big mitzvah to eat. So because he emphasized this huge mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, so therefore in his neighborhood, they were especially they had meat.
So he says it's like
right. Other places
they advertise certain type of show.
So he means it's my neighborhood.
Right, in Galil. In the Galil. Right, because of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, so in the Galil they followed him, so everybody there had that, you know? Yeah. So Gemara says, Tana, it would be like here, everybody needs scallions on Erev Pesach. In a normal place, what are the scallions? If you paid for scallions, you better deliver it, you know, for day, you know. You know, so the other, right, in another, you go to an Ashkenazi neighborhood, they'd be like, what are you doing with scallions at Passover? We never heard of this, you know?
Take it.
We don't need it, you know? There's certain things that we have, let's say, or like the on Rosh Hashanah that we eat Rosh Hashanah that other people they don't eat, so they would say, what are you, you know, it won't be a hot item in other place. Yeah. So Gemara says, Tana imlo diolech v'shochet eno nimna. You should know that any other time that you buy an animal, and especially on these 4 days where the seller is obligated to inform you if he sold the parent or the child of that animal on that day, if he doesn't say anything, you can assume you're in the clear to slaughter your animal for that day. Amar Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda said, Ematai. He said, when is this true? This is true only if it's on the same day. But he says, however, if a bride and a groom both came and bought the, you know, the kala side bought the baby and the chatan side bought the mother, you have to let them know because you have to assume they're both for the wedding. So he says, why does it mention lamali lemitne et the im lechatan? Why does it mention that the chatan bought the mother? V'etabat lechala. Right? Or it says milta agav orchei kamashmalan the orach ara lemitach bechatanat fem mibekalatat. To teach you that usually the husband side of the family would pay for more. They would bring more to in terms of the wedding meal than the bride side of the family. So it shows you that he was buying the bigger animal for that reason. So the question is, in dinei mamonot, now we're getting onto halachot of Bava Metzia, okay, kinyanim. So the question is, what's the difference? If I give a dinar to a person, technically, do we say ma'ot konot or ma'ot don't pa? Right? It's in Baba Metzia, right? Does money alone effectuate acquisition or not? Do you acquire with money? Normally we say no, but we'll see. You need meshicha. So the question is, how can you say just because I handed this guy a coin and I come back and say I want my money that I own the cow? Well, just give me back my coin and say, get out of here. I'm not going to do it. So how can we give this guy possession over this cow? V'alo mashach. He didn't do mashicha. So who is he to demand anything? Amar mashicha, meaning he has to actually physically pull it or move it to demonstrate that he's acquiring it. Amar v'na amarav. Okay, so we're talking about where he pulled the cow. He gave him a dinar and he pulled the cow a little bit to show that he was expressing his ownership over it. And now now when he comes back, he expects the butcher to slaughter it. Okay, but the question is, if that's true, but what about the case at the end? It said that on other days it doesn't work. Now we have to assume that we're talking about the same case in the beginning and the end, otherwise this doesn't make any sense here, right? So if in the beginning what we're talking about that he gave a dinar, we're talking about he also did mishicha, and that's why he owns it, part of it, and he can demand the slaughtering and he's liable if it dies. So at the end where it says he's not liable, and at the, right? So you're saying that he pulled it. So then he should be liable in both cases. He should have the power in both cases. Why only in the beginning? No, Meshicha of the... Anytime you acquire a movable object in halakha...
That's not buying the whole object.
Even so. To demonstrate, you have to do an action to the object to show that I'm taking possession of even part of it.
I'm going to buy like one-tenth of your cow, that's to Meshicha?
Yeah, even if, let's say, for example, you're selling a whole bunch of goods, so they can take one of the items out of the thing and pick it up. And that's they have to do some action that they're doing.
You just take up the pen.
Yeah,
and
take it. That's a different thing. That's chalipin. So chalipin is different. Chalipin is different. Yeah. But because you're not taking the pen. But let's say, but normally if you're purchasing, you have to. We'll see why it is in a second. So it says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said, Leolam Shelo Mashach. The only way we can understand the Mishnah is where you didn't. Take it. You didn't pull yourself. It's a very creative answer, actually. It says, it must be that somebody else did it for you. In other words, you sent somebody to the store, you gave them the dinar, pay, and remember to pull the cow a little bit to show that we're taking it. Okay? On those 4 days of the year where it's very special, we have a concept in halacha that zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav v'en chavin la'adam shelo b'fanav, which means you can give somebody a positive when they're not around, but you can't give them a negative. So if you can't give them a liability. So on those 4 days of the year, where simply by pulling the cow, now you have the right to demand that the slaughtering of the cow take place at your convenience, okay? That is a big zechut. So therefore, even if somebody else goes and pulls the cow, it's going to be considered for you as a zechut. So therefore, you acquire it, even though somebody else did it for you. But b'shar yemot ha'shana dechovulo, on the other days of the year, where it is a chov, it's not considered, you're going to end up giving money, and you're not going to gain from it. Okay? So therefore, it's not going to give you any benefit. So en chavin l'adam shelo b'fanav, you don't acquire it. So there was a mishicha, but it was done by somebody else, a third party. Since it was done by a third party, it will only work when it actually gives you a benefit. When does it actually give you a benefit? It only gives you a benefit when it's those 4 special days of the year that now you have a right to demand something from what you did.
On the other days, power to acquire for the guy.
Only for a good thing. If he's acquiring,
if you tell him to do it, he'll do it. If he doesn't tell him,
well, it's saying on any other day, so you give them money and you pull it.
Owner's,
he told permission. Him to go, right? And he
said, go give this deposit.
Give this
to
deposit
to
the butcher. And the butcher said, oh, you have to pull it, let's say. So he pulls it also. Let's assume that he didn't give him the shlichut to do that. Let's just make it simple. Oh, okay. Right? He just told him, go pay. And then the butcher says, oh, pull it so that it's yours. And he pulls it. So in the case, on the 4 special days where it actually gives you a zechut, fine. But on the days where it doesn't give you a zechut, all you did was basically give me my money to the butcher and now I don't get anything out of it. So pulling it is not going to help me. Right, the fact that you pulled is not going to help me. So therefore, I don't want to. I'd rather basically that it be on the butcher's a problem and not mine. Because if it dies, that way it belongs to the butcher's problem. Yeah. It's not my problem, right? So that's what he's saying. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. There's another solution to this though, which is because according to Rabbi Yochanan, ma'ot konot midvar Torah. That according to Rabbi Yochanan, money acquires. Dvar Torah, according to the Torah, it acquires. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah ma'ot konot. Umat amam mishicha kona, zera Hashem ayoma lo nisrafu chitecha ba'aliyah. That, what does it mean? That a person will, why did they require mishicha? According to Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, according to the first opinion, it's deoraita. Without just giving money means nothing. Unless you have mishicha, you have nothing. So therefore, we had to work out a way where mishicha was done in both cases, but in one case it was considered as a chut, so it worked. Right? In the other case, it was not considered as a chut. It only made more problems for me to have the liability of the animal, but without the right to force it to be slaughtered. So I don't want that. So it wouldn't work, right? But here, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, there's an even simpler answer, which is that really money works, min ha-Torah. Min ha-Torah, money works. But the thing is, the rabbis made a gzera that you have to do mashicha. Why? Because what will happen? You give money to somebody, they leave your stuff in their attic, okay? And they wait for you to pick it up. Meanwhile, you give the money to them, and you didn't do any mashicha. And all of a sudden, the fire breaks out, and your stuff is destroyed. They say, sorry, your stuff was destroyed. Yeah. It wasn't my problem. I saved my stuff. That was your stuff that was up in the attic that got destroyed. It wasn't my problem. You acquired it. You should have come save it.
So right? If he did Meshicha, then the liability is on the mocher.
Meaning, if the guy requiring Meshicha is basically saying, you can't just give money and not move the... Meshicha really would be normally that you take it.
Acquiring.
Right, that you actually take it.
But in
right.
this case...
So they're saying like this, that really money, from the Torah's perspective, money alone works.
Yeah.
So therefore, on those four special days of the year where the Torah wants to empower the individual who comes to buy meat because there's a mitzvah to eat meat on those days, and people are making a big se'udot, so they said, you know what, on these 4 days, we're gonna dispense with the requirement of Meshicha. We're going to say you don't have to do Meshicha on these 4 days. Any other day you have to do Meshicha. Why? It's Midrabanan. Because the rabbis didn't want a situation where people are doing transactions over things that they don't have possession over. Okay, that they don't physically take possession of. Because if I own something but it's in your possession, but you can legally say, well, it's your problem, not mine, because you paid for it and you pay it, as soon as you paid for it, it was yours and I don't care what happens to it now. They didn't want a situation like that. So therefore, normally they required Meshicha. But in these four cases where it was a benefit to the buyer to not have Meshicha, normally it's a benefit to the buyer that it's not his until he takes possession of it physically. But in these cases, since it's a benefit to the buyer that he can exert some right over the cow even without taking physical possession, therefore we said he didn't have to take physical possession in these four special days. That was that.
So my question, so in this case, so let's say the item was in his attic. If he did do Meshicha, then whose liability?
Now it's the buyer's liability. Once he physically takes it, and then he says, you know what, I'm taking this, but I'm going to put it down and leave it here in your attic, so that's your problem.
So even with the money, it's still buyer's liability.
But normally the idea of Meshicha is that you're going to take it.
Uh-huh.
It's so not that you're going to pick it up and leave it with the guy.
They say you should take your item.
Really, it's to take it. That's the idea of Meshicha. Now, if you pick it up and you're walking out with it, you say, you know what, I'm just going to leave this here for a second. Now, the buyer can say, what do you expect me to watch yourself? I wasn't a showman. Right. Really means to take it. Now, the new Mishnah says, Yom Echad Amor Ba'oto V'Yed Beno, Ayom Olech Achar Laila. When we talk about Oto V'Yed Beno and it says B'Yom Echad, it means with the day following the night. In other words, from the, like everything else, like Shabbat. From the Friday night to the following Saturday night, that's considered a day, right? So from last night, Sunday night, until tonight, if you slaughtered an animal last night, and you can do Shechita B'Layla as long as you have lights, like we learned, right? If you did it last night, and you wanted to do the mother or a child today, you can't do it because it's considered the same day, right? But tonight, as soon as it's nighttime, let's say tonight at 7 o'clock, you wanted to do Shechita, it's okay, it's a new day, right? Hayomach Olech Laila. Zo devar Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma. This is what Rabbi Shimon ben Zoma said. He said, "Nemar b'maase b'rishit yom echad." It says the word "yom echad" b'maase b'rishit with the creation, right? Vayivoke yom echad. V'nemar b'otoved beno yom echad, and it says also by otoved beno yom echad. Ma yom echad amu b'maase b'rishit ayom olech achar laila. Just like when it comes to maase b'rishit, when it comes to the creation, vayir vayivoke yom echad. It's night coming before day. Same thing with Oto V'Yed Beno. Day follows night. The Gemara says, "Tanu Rabbanan et Zod Rashi Rabbi Shimon Ben Zoma." Levishikol Einyan Kulo Einu Medaber El Bekodeshim. So this is a brayta that's elaborating upon what we just read. Since the whole subject where we see the mitzvah of Oto V'Yed Beno, Vishor Oseh Oto V'Yed Beno Lo Tishchotu B'Yom Echad. The whole subject, the whole context, is the context of sacrifices. So you might have thought that we go by the laws of sacrifices. B'kodeshim, laila holech acharayom. When it comes to korbanot, actually, the night is considered to follow the day. That's the only time in halacha that the night follows the day. So when you have a korban during the day, you can eat it yom v'layla, right? Until the next morning, or until chatzot, according to the rabbis made the limit at chatzot, but basically until the next day, and in the next morning it becomes notar, it becomes leftover. Mm-hmm. So you see that the layla is going after the yom. Mm-hmm. The in that case, night is following day. So you might have thought of kodeshim layla olech achar yom yichol avzeken. You might have thought with otovit beno, same thing. That's why nemar kan yom echad nemar be'asei v'rishit yom echad. That's why you need to know that there's a gzera shava between yom echad b'kodesh b'masei v'rishit yom echad be'otofet beno. What is the gzera shava? It is just like it says that just like ma yom echad emor b'masei v'rishit yom olech achar laila. Af yom echad emor be'otofet beno yom olech achar laila. Like we already said, the day follows the night for these purposes. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Yom Echad in the Pasuk, there's another thing you can learn from it. Not that he's necessarily disagreeing with what went before, but he's adding something. He says, actually, Yom Echad, Yom HaMiuchad, Ta'un Kiroz, meaning that special day requires an announcement. Mikan Amu Barba Parkim Bashana, Amuchir Be'emal L'Chavot Tzarech Lodi'o. Like we said in the Mishnah, that there are certain special days where a person who sold the mother or the child has to notify subsequent customers on that day. That's why it says Yom Biyom Echad. It's saying Biyom Miyuchad. Now obviously that is what we call an asmachta, that he's saying there's a hint in the Pasuk to this idea that on certain special days you have to inform the buyer. But in terms of halakha, for sure everybody agrees that the day follows the night when it comes to Otovit Beno, Adon Alach Otovit Beno. And that marks the completion of that perek. We can start the new perek, Kisui Adam. Another mitzvah that relates, just like Otovit Beno, relates to Shechita and the covering of the blood. Kisui Adam, Noeg Baratz, Uchutz La'aretz, and again, the Mishnah starts with the same formula because eventually it's going to deviate from this formula, but the formula of the Mishnayot is to distinguish one mitzvah from another. Kisui Adam, Noeg Baratz, Uchutz La'aretz, that Kisui Adam applies, covering the blood applies whether in Israel or outside of Israel. Bifnei Abayit, Vishilo Bifnei Abayit, whether it is during the times of the Beit HaMikdash or not. Bechulin, Aval Lo B'Mukdashin. You don't perform Kisui Adam on Mukdashin. Now, what's the only case of Korbanot that you would have covering of the blood? Only a bird korban. And really only a korban chatat. Even though Rashi here says olata of and chatata of, olata of is not for eating. And it says that asher yatutzet chaya of asher yachel. So really, chatata of is probably the main one that the Mishnah has in mind to exclude. You wouldn't cover the blood of the chatata of. V'noeg b'chaya uv of. And it applies only to wild animals and birds. Bim zuman v'she'eno mizuman. That's to distinguish it from, let's say, shiluach hakin. You send away the mother bird when you're taking the eggs or the babies, because that only applies bim v'she'eno mizuman if you find it in the forest. Ki karekan tzipor lefanecha. But if you have a chicken farm, you don't have to send the mother bird away every time that you're taking the eggs. It's only when you find it. Here, it applies anytime. Even on a farm, you have to cover the blood. Vinoeg bikoi, as we learned, it applies even to the koi, which is this question of either a questionable chayav or bema, or it's a mixture. Okay? Mipneshu safek, because it's a doubt, one or the other reason, either because we just don't know or because it's a mixture. And that's more of an issue in Masechet Beta, in the beginning of Masechet Beta. We don't slaughter the koi on Yom Tov because it creates a doubtful obligation of Kisui Adam. And with a doubtful obligation of Kisui Adam, we wouldn't be able to do it on Yom Tov. So therefore, we don't want the koi case. A normal chaya, if you're slaughtering a venison for your Yom Tov meal and you want to do Kisui Adam, or you're slaughtering a chicken for your Yom Tov meal and you need to do Kisui Adam, you do Kisui Adam. You just have to prepare the dirt from beforehand. That's all. You do it because it's a mitzvah. But in this case, a safek, you're not going to do it on Yom Tov, a Kisui Adam, misafek. So you shouldn't create the situation where you need to do it.
What's the pasuk about covering blood in Torah?
Asher yatzut tzed chayahu of asher yachel. You spill out the blood, and you cover it with blood, with dust, with dirt. It has it here. In some of he has the old Gemara that didn't have that benefit. Asher yatzud tzeir chayahu of asher yachel v'shafachet emo v'chisao be'afar. It's one pasuk.
So wild animal and birds.
It says chayan of only. But in the upcoming, they're going to ask the question, why don't you say behemah is the same as of and all that? We'll see. But first, the Gemara asks a more technical question. Mukdashin maita amalo. What's the reason why we don't cover the blood of mukdashin? Normally, every law of shechita or whatever that we have, we apply the same to chulin and mukdashin. So why do we not have kisui adam for korbanot? Now, I would have said a very simple answer. Nobody says it.
The pasuk,
right, I would have said it says it's only shechita. And there's no, we're not doing shechita on ofot in the Beit HaMikdash. You're doing malika. Right? I would have thought that, but nobody raised it. I didn't. No. I mean, maybe some of the mefarshim raised that question. I didn't see, but I didn't. I didn't do so much research. But I want to look into it maybe more because it occurred to me like there's no shechita, so why would you even have the question? But anyway,
the pasuk doesn't say shechita. It says Asher Yotzud Said.
Right, right. But it's connected. True. True. But we're going to see that when you have a shechita that's not a proper shechita, you don't do it. So I was, I'm not sure. But anyway, But mukdashin ma'idam lo. What's the reason? Ilay ma'am shumad Rabbi Zera. Maybe the reason is because of what Rabbi Zera said. Damar Rabbi Zera hashochet tzarich shi'iten afar lemata v'afar lemala. She'ed ma'am shafachid amav chisayu be'afar. The rule is when you do kisui adam, you put dirt on the bottom, you put the blood, and then you cover it with dirt on the top. It's be'afar, in dirt. Okay, so it says because shenemar v'shafachet demo v'chisau be'afar afar lo nemar. It doesn't say cover it. It cover it dirt. Ela be'afar in the dirt. Milamed, which teaches us shachochet tzarich shi'iten afar lemata v'afar lemala. And you would have to put dirt underneath the blood as well as on top of it. V'achala efshar. And here you can't do it. Why can't you do it? Because the blood of the chatat is going on the mizbeach. So what are you going to do? You're going to put dirt on the mizbeach and then receive it onto the dirt. How will you do it? If you put dirt on the mizbeach and you say, I'm going to put this dirt here on the mizbeach and I'm going to make it like permanent here on the mizbeach, you're not allowed to add onto the mizbeach. We know from it says in Divrei Yamim that the exact way that the Beit HaMikdash is built was given to David HaMelech in Ruach HaKodesh. It was given to him by Hashem's divine inspiration. You can't change anything. You're not allowed to add dirt to the mizbeach. So therefore, what are you going to do? So, la liftele, if you say, I'm just putting this here temporarily, right? I'm not putting it here permanently. So then you have another problem. Chatzitza. Okay, then you're going to have chatzitza. In other words, when you put the blood from the chatat onto this dirt, you already said that dirt is not a permanent part of the mizbeach, so you're not really putting it on the mizbeach then. So you can't have dirt underneath.
Yeah.
Right? Nei di lemata laefshar. True that you can't have it underneath. Lemal laefshar. Why can't you do it on top? Right? Why can't you just do it on top of the blood then? Milo Tanya, didn't we learn? Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef omer shachat chaya ve'achar kach shachat behema patum lechasot. Didn't we learn that if you slaughter a chaya and then you slaughter behema on top of it, you don't have to cover the blood? Why? Because the animal's blood is covering the chaya's blood and you can't see it anymore. Ve'bad behema ve'achar kach chaya. If you first slaughtered an animal, meaning a domesticated animal, and then a wild animal, so what's underneath? The blood of the domesticated animal. Chayav lechasot. Then you do cover it. So even though you don't have dirt, in other words, you didn't need dirt to be under the cow's blood, because you don't do kisui adam on a cow. So you slaughtered the cow and then there's blood there. Then you brought a deer, you slaughtered it over on the same spot. So there's no dirt underneath the deer's blood. And yet you still cover it on top. So why can't you do the same thing here? Do the korban chatata off on the mizbeach, and then cover it with dirt. Just cover it over it with dirt. You won't have it underneath. Cover it over. So it says you can't.
So what's the inyan of chatzitza that you mentioned on the top? I didn't get it.
Because the korban chatat, the blood has to be ala mizbeach.
Okay, so what is chatzitza here?
The dirt. It's saying if you put... The thing is like this. They're saying, can you do kisui adam on the blood of a chatata off? The problem is the blood of the chatata off has to go on the mizbeach.
Yes.
So it has to touch it. So if I need to put dirt underneath, so what's going to happen? It becomes chatzitza. If I say I'm making it part of the mizbeach, it's not a chatzitza, it's part of the mizbeach. So then you're adding to the mizbeach. You can't do that either.
Uh-huh.
Right? So that's the problem. So it says, okay, so just do it on top. It's Kidur Rabbi Zera. It's like Rabbi Zera said, and this is a famous Talmudic lesson that we actually learned in its original source in Masechet Menachot. And I mentioned then, and we've seen it a couple of times since, that it appears in many other places as well, which is that Rabbi Zera made the famous comment that Rabbi Zera called Oil Bila, En Bila Me'akevet Bo, V'chol Sheinoa Oil Bila, Bila Me'akevet Bo. That anytime something, what was the case there? The case there was that if you have 60 Esronim, a flower, that is the max that you can do for a mincha. What's the reason? Because the oil will not mix properly with more than 60. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, but you don't have to mix. It says, even if you didn't mix, lo balal, it's still kosher. So put 61 esronim and it won't make, and you won't mix it. What's the difference? You don't have to mix it anyway. So what did Rabbi Zera say? Kol ha-ra'uy le-bila. It has to be capable of bila, capable of mixing. Okay? Even if you didn't actually do it. But here the problem is, In other words, when you slaughtered the deer on top of the blood of the animal, on top of the blood of the behema, it could have been had dirt underneath, it just didn't. And now it's mixed into the blood of the animal and you can't do anything about it. Right? But it could have been. Right? Here we're in a situation where it's not the wa'uy, you wouldn't have any way of doing it, putting dirt underneath it, because there's no way to do it. So since it's not wa'uy, it's not even capable, the statement of Rabbi Zerah about menachot became like a catchphrase for any situation where true that you don't always succeed in having dirt underneath, but you can't have a situation where you couldn't have had the dirt underneath. You can have a situation where you didn't, but not where you couldn't. And this, we have a situation where you couldn't possibly execute kisui adam properly. Why don't you just take it off the mizbech? In other words, do the korban chatat, the chatata off. Have the blood on the mizbech, then collect it off the mizbech, put dirt, put on, and do kisui adam. What's the problem? Milotnan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Damanitas v'shalas sakin chayav lechasot. We're going to see that this is not according to everybody, but blood that spurts out or that's on the knife, also you cover it. You wipe it onto the dirt and you cover it too. Alma digarum chasele. So you see that you're able to wipe it off and collect it and cover it. So why don't we do the same thing off of the mizbeach? So Gemara says, you know what? You're right. You're right. There's a way to do it. For the chatat off, we could do it. But you know what? We can't do it. You know what the Mishnah is saying when you can't do it? If somebody donated birds to the Beit HaMikdash, not as korbanot, as property. They said, here's birds for you to use. Bedek habayit. Use them, use the eggs, sell it, whatever you're going to do. If you slaughter those, they become asur b'hana'ah. Okay? So, v'lifrekinu v'lichasinu. So again, if you slaughter them, Gemara says, why don't you just redeem them? Okay, you slaughtered these birds. You have the blood spurting out. You say, well, there's nothing I can do. It's asur b'achila. I'm not allowed to eat it. So since I'm not allowed to eat it, it doesn't require kisui hadam. That's what it said, lo b'muktashin. It doesn't require kisui hadam because it's asur b'hana'ah. There's not. They're not going to eat it.
What do you do with those edek habayit matanot? I don't understand. I mean, somebody...
You can give anything to the Beit HaMikdash.
Somebody gives a matanot of a bird for edek habayit. You slaughter it and...
No, they usually sell it for the money.
No, you said it's asur
b'hana'ah. Because he did the wrong thing. He slaughtered it. He wasn't supposed to. Really, what he should have done was sold it and taken the money for the Beit HaMikdash. He went and he slaughtered it.
It's an asset.
It's an asset.
He slaughtered it by mistake.
Right, he wasn't supposed to. He wasn't supposed to. That's right, that's what about now. That's the only reason. Yeah. Otherwise, they would sell it and take the money. Or they would make the eggs from it and they would sell that or whatever.
You can sell anything.
Yeah.
He slaughtered it by mistake.
He wasn't supposed to. He wasn't supposed to. Okay. So it's like, so why not redeem? I don't know why. I don't know.
So there's nowhere. There's no.
I haven't seen it. We'll see. But let's just get to the end of this first. But then, forget over the chasino. Why don't they redeem it and then cover it? He says, that's because in order to redeem something from Bedek Abayit, you need a proper assessment. And since this is already dead, you can't assess a dead animal. You can only assess ha'amadavacha. In order to redeem an animal, it has to be able to stand up. In other words, you can only redeem live animals. Once it's already slaughtered, it's a finished deal. Uchiman, but who are you following? According to Rabbi Meir, that everything has to be able to stand up in order to be evaluated. We're going to see later that he says that even a shechita that turns out that the animals at Trefa, you still have to do kisui adam. So it shouldn't matter to him that you slaughtered this chicken and it's asur b'hana'ah because it was belonging to the Beit HaMikdash. You should still have to do kisui adam because he says, true that he'll say that you can't redeem it, but the fact that it's asur b'hana'ah doesn't change the situation that you need kisui adam according to Rabbi Meir. And ikra b'shimon, de'amar shechita shenawoya lashma shechita, and according to Rabbi Shimon, who would say, he would agree that since you slaughtered it, and what it produces is something that's asur b'hana'ah, you wouldn't really need to do a kisui hadam, but ha'amar lo ayu b'chila la'madah v'acha, he said that you don't have to have, for bedek abayit, the only time you need the animal to be able to stand on its own 2 feet and be alive to redeem it is a korban that got a blemish. But an animal that was bedek abayit, you could redeem it even after it was already slaughtered. Okay, contribute the money and then free it from being asur b'hana'ah. So according to both sides, you have an out here. Because according to Rabbi Meir, even though the chicken is asur b'hana'ah, you still have to cover the blood. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you could still redeem it even after it's slaughtered and cover the blood. So what do you mean that there's no chance of covering the blood in this case? Amar Rav Yosef said, Rabbi, even asiv la'ali baditana'e. Really, it's Rabbi behind this halakha. And he agrees with Rabbi Shimon on one and Rabbi Meir on the other. B'shchita she'ina u'ya sava like Rabbi Shimon, b'avadavar chas sava like Rabbi Meir. When it comes to shchita she'ina u'ya, when it comes to whether shchita that produces a forbidden item because the item was non-kosher or zasur bana'a, he agrees with Rabbi Shimon. In other words, that shchita she'ina u'ya doesn't count. Okay? And when it comes, so therefore you wouldn't do kisui adam on the blood of this chicken because it was asur b'hana'a. On the other hand, can you redeem it? No, because savalak, he will hold the hamadaba v'halacha savalak Rabbi Meir, but he holds that there's no way to redeem it. So you're stuck, right? It's asur b'hana'a, so you can't do kisui adam as long as it's asur b'hana'a, and you can't remove the prohibition because he holds like Rabbi Shimon that you can't. Like Rabbi Meir, that you can't remove the prohibition once it's already slaughtered. So there's no kisui adam for this particular chicken. Okay, v'ibayt ema. Alternatively, kulan Rabbi Shimoni. Maybe the whole thing is Rabbi Shimon. V'shaneacha, but it's different over here. Da'amarka v'shafach v'chisa. That over here it says, that when it comes to kisui adam, it says v'shafach v'chisa. Meaning that you have to spill the blood and cover it. Mi she'no mechusar al shficha v'kisui. That only a situation where all you need is to spill out the blood and then cover it, that's where you have the mitzvah. Yatzazeh she'mechusar shficha pidaya v'kisui. But here we have a requirement of spilling out the blood, then you have to redeem it, which, okay, even if we follow Rabbi Shimon, that you're allowed to redeem it after you slaughtered it, there's another step in the process that breaks it up. When you did the slaughtering, there was no chance of kisui adam yet. Now you have to do the pidyon to redeem it, and now you want to cover the blood. The mitzvah doesn't apply to that case.
Where's the blood, meanwhile?
The blood's on the ground. Right, so he's saying, but it wouldn't apply in this case because you would have another step, and you never have another step. So now the Gemara realizes something. Vashta di atit lachi. Now that we have this concept that you can't have another step, afilu teima kochem isbeach. We can even go back to our original question about the chatat haof. Mi sheino mechusar shvicha v'kisui. Yatza ze shemechusar shvicha gvira v'kisui. That we said that the only time you have a mitzvah of kisui adam is when you're going right from the slaughtering of the animal or the killing of the animal to the covering of the blood. But to do it for a korban, you would have to first apply the blood to the altar, then remove it, then do kisui adam. There, the Torah doesn't require kisui adam, where there's an intermediate step that would have to be done. So in a case of a kochem mizbeach, where it's a chatat ta'of, the Torah will not require it because it has a separate step in between. And in the case of kochem bedek habayit, where you would have to redeem it in between, also the Torah would not require kisui adam. We can say that for both. And then finally, the Gemara is going to give a third answer that we can take. I guess we can take up tomorrow, and also a question, an interesting conversation about the application of the interpretation of various mitzvot from a heretical perspective. A heretic is going to challenge one of the Amoraim. We'll see tomorrow.
What's this, Gerida?